Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It sure is good to be here this morning, see this number. Any visitors we might have, we want to welcome you, but I think I'm seeing mostly familiar faces this morning, and so thankful to see the McKinneys back with us and little Zeke and everybody. That's a blessing right there. That's an answered prayer. Nothing short of a miracle. I thank the Lord for it. Just so thankful to see everybody, looking forward to what the Lord has for us today. And I can tell you, I don't have anything. The only thing I brought is what the Lord had for me. This has been a good week of study, a good week of experience, I guess you could say. The Lord just really makes himself known sometimes in a way that you know that it's him. And I'm so thankful for that. But if you will, let's be turning to Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3, and if you'd like to just stay there, you can. I'm going to be turning around to a few different places, but I think that'd be easiest maybe just to kind of park you there for right now. That's where the main context will be. A few announcements to make. Next month when I will be out of town, I've talked to Brother Daniel Jones with medical missions, and he said that he'd come and preach for me on that Sunday, and I'm thankful for that. I know many in the church really enjoyed the time that he had spent with us before, and I wanted him to see if he'd be able to come and be with us, and he said he would be, so I knew I'd get some smiles from that. And also, next Sunday is the Lord's Supper. I wanted to give you a week's notice, give you some time to be thinking about that as well. But yeah, if you'll be there in Malachi chapter number 3, I want to start just, I'm going to a couple of different places to read. You know, sometimes it's not just in a day of study. Sometimes it happens throughout a week or different times. And throughout the week, the Lord had just kind of had different verses. And there's middle of the week, I shared the verse of the day. I try to do that, and I shared that. And the verse of the week, or the verse of the day that day, was Proverbs 11:24. And I posted it, and it said, "There is that that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty." And I want to go ahead and read this extra verse to go along with it. It says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." And somebody asked me, they said, I need a little bit more context to this verse. What does that mean? And I look back at it, of course, the law of reaping and sowing came to mind. But there at the beginning, it says, "There is that that scattereth, yet increaseth." And I maybe to some minds, that would make you think, well, if I'm giving everything out, then how am I going to retain anything? How can I have anything that's going to grow if I'm giving everything out? And then it says here also, the contrast of it, as we see a lot of times in Proverbs, it says, "And there is that that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty." That means there are those that hold in more and say, if I'm going to grow anything or if I'm going to have more, I've got to hold on to every little thing I've got and not give anything away, or it's not going to grow. But yet the Bible teaches and says that tendeth to poverty. That tendeth, you tend to lose. It just don't make a lot of sense, does it? Then you start thinking about it maybe in this way. You look at it at verse 25. It says, "The liberal soul," the liberal, now we're not talking about conservative and liberalism here. Let's don't get it messed up. But it's talking about the liberal, the giving soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. So I kind of look at it like this. Brother Tim, I thought about you and think about some of the ground crew. I don't know that they would do this on campus so much, maybe, but I don't know how much fertilizing that you would do to the grass. Yeah, I'm seeing the head shaking. No, we don't want that, right? But in this kind of weather, if you go out and you start scattering at some fertilizer, and then that rain come on there and start hitting that fertilizer on that grass, I promise you, you're going to have more than you want. You're going to probably have more than you need. You're going to have an abundance. We've had an abundance of rain, but that's what it's saying here. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And I was thinking this week, if there's a time that I felt like in my life that I need to be watered, it's right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know if you found yourself in that position or not. Sometimes it seems like you can go through dry spells or hard times or difficult times in life. And I know many in this church is. This message is for you this morning, and it's for me. I'll take ownership of it as well. But there's just times in your life you need just a little bit extra watering. Would you not agree with that? Sometimes you've gone through things or maybe going through things, and You just say, Lord, I just need a little bit more. I just need a little bit more for this. I need a little bit more help. I need a little bit more understanding. I need a little bit more grace. I need a little bit more of you in my life. A lot of times we'll bypass that and we'll miss it, thinking we've got to just hold fast what we have. But the Lord is saying, give and it shall be given to you. That's a Bible verse. Sister Sarah, little Josh, I say little, I keep calling him little man. My Josh, you were talking about Sunday school. That was a Bible verse that they were studying to teach to the little ones. They were talking about giving, it shall be given to you. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means if you give to what the Lord has, you give to His business first, He will take care of you. Now the prosperity gospel, I've talked to you a lot about that in recent weeks. I tell you it's false and how it is. It'll tell you, you give and you'll get everything you want. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does teach if you give, He will give you back what you need that you won't do without. The Bible teaches that. A lot of times we see it in monetary value and what have you, or way that it's expressed even in God's Word. And that's what we'll look at a little bit this morning. But the primary context of what I want you to see has nothing to do with money, but it has everything to do with the Lord. I need more of the Lord in my life. The context that's given here is what we'll see in Malachi is how this church was responding to the gospel and what they were doing, their misconception of it, and what they were being judged for. The nation of Israel and what they're being judged for. Really kind of how this started out, this study started out for me, was when Brother Joshua was with us on Wednesday night and missionary to the Philippines, and he was talking in John chapter number 6 about the five loaves and two little fishes, the way the Bible says it. He doesn't get it mixed up where you say, well, it's probably big, big fishes. No, the Bible plainly says they were little. The Lord was talking to Philip about this. The Lord knew exactly how the situation was. And I'm not going to re-preach his message, but it's a good diving board, a jump off board for us this morning. But in John 6:5, Jesus saw what the situation was, and he reached out to Philip. He said, we have this many people to feed, about 15,000 people to feed. How much would it cost to feed that many people? And you see Philip, he gets out his calculator, he starts trying to add all this up and trying to see how much it's going to cost, and it's like, we ain't got enough. So this is Jesus' response to Philip. In John 6:6, it said, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. That was his response. I want to read that again. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the blessings upon my life, Lord, and just how you've taken care of me and my family, Lord, and just how you take care of all of us. God, I know most people here, probably all people here in the church, have seen very hard times in one way or another, financially, physically, spiritually, Lord, whatever that might be. Just we face things in life, and we know that. We know that coming into it, Lord, based on the honesty and what we see in your word, God, and just how you show us how to respond to those things if we will, Lord, if we will give it over to you. That's the hinging point that we see so often in your word, Lord, that if the part of man, the side of man in our response back to you, God. Lord, we come to you this morning again just so thankful to be here, so thankful to see the McKinneys back with us. Lord, we thank you so much for the miracles that you've done there, God, and other miracles in our church, Lord. We just thank you so much for that. God, we miss those that aren't able to be with us. We pray for them this morning. Ask, Lord, that you be with them and help them, God. Heal them. Be with Sister Linda, Lord, as she heals. And be with Sister Wava, God, and those others, Lord, that may be listening as well. God, we pray for them this morning. God, we pray for the lost in our church, in our community. God, I just pray that you be with them. Touch their hearts. Convict them, Lord. Help them, God, to see their need. Others, Lord, in our church, they're facing decisions to be made and medical issues and health issues. God, I pray for them this morning. Be with them, God. I pray this message be an encouragement and a help to them, Lord. Just pray you give it to them, Lord, the way you give it to me. And help us, God. Help us to grow in your word, our faith and our trust in you. Help us, Lord, and ask all these things again in Jesus' name. Amen. I like this here, the way it starts out, and then I'm getting ready to go to Malachi, but in John 6 again, how he's talking about this here, how the Lord is talking to Philip, and he said, and this he said to prove him, and what he's talking about there in that first part of that verse is to prove Philip. You know what the word prove means? There's a couple of definitions. I want to start with the first one, and then we'll move on into the second one when we get to the second half of this verse, but to prove, that means to try or to examine. And you see this a lot of times in God's Word. You see this so often, how the Lord will pose a problem or there'll be a problem posed and the Lord will grant that back to the person, the recipient. And he said here, the problem we had, we didn't have enough food. And what he did here, and this he said, this Jesus said to prove Philip, to try Philip. He wanted to know what Philip was going to say about the problem. He said, Philip, we got a problem here. What should we do? He did this to try him. And then you see this word tried, it means to examine. You know, we do that a lot with things in our life. We will have a problem that we're posed with. We will try it, we'll examine it, and we'll look at it to figure out what we are going to do. How we're going to handle this and how we're going to face it. A lot to be able to look at here. I think sometimes we look at the power of positivity. Now, I'm not saying anybody should go around with a negative attitude or anything like that, but I just want to tell you this morning, your positive thoughts will only get you so far. Have you ever been positive about something and then something negative still happened? Why didn't it work? I was being positive about it. I was trying to be happy about it. I was trying to be uplifting about it, but why didn't it work? A lot of times people say that you have the power of the mind, you can control things with the power of your mind, but we're not perfect. We can't do that. If we had the power of our mind to fix things, then why aren't things fixed? Why do we still have problems? Positivity will only get you so far. Good attitude is a wonderful thing. I'm not saying going around with a bad attitude. We try positivity out for a little while, we examine it, and we try out positivity, and if we're not careful, what happens is, we fall into what? Negativity. Well, if being positive, Brother Tim, didn't work and didn't help out, then I'm just going to be negative about it. It's just not going to work. See it every day, don't you? So there's an aspect that we need to look at here, and that aspect is Jesus Christ Himself. He's not a genie in a bottle, anything like that, but I tell you, for His children, He does stand at the ready. He does care about your life and what you're going through. However big or however small that it is, let me tell you something. If Josh is going through something and it bothers him, it's a big deal to me. I don't care how big or small the world says that it is. If it's big to him, it's big to me. The problem that you have this morning, let me tell you, it's big to the Lord Jesus Christ because it's big to you. That doesn't mean He can't handle it. It means He's going to handle it. I want to show you that. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But we're seeing how we're proving here. We see in Malachi, in verses 7 through 11, we see kind of how things are going here. We look at the nation of Israel, but I think we can definitely kind of attach this to the state of the church also. How our churches are sometimes in this day and time, we've really got used to kind of showing up on time and kind of going through things and what have you. But if you look at what the book of Malachi is talking about here, it's actually a rebuke because this Israel at this time was neglecting what true worship was about with God. They were doing the things, but you know what wasn't in it? Their heart. You can do things out of your abundance. You can do things out of your means. But if your heart is not involved with it, the Lord knows that. If your heart is not involved in this church this morning and what's going on here this morning, the Lord knows that. It doesn't matter how long the preacher preaches, how short he preaches, or how loud he preaches, or how quiet he preaches. What the Lord is interested in this morning is your condition of your heart. Whatever it is that you're going through. Whatever that may be. There's different things. You see this here, the problem that was stated back in John, it was because they didn't have enough food. You might have a problem in your life this morning. You need to identify that with the Lord, whatever that may be. But you know, He wants to help you with that. There's only so much I can do, but I tell you this morning, I know that the Lord wants to help you with that. We see some things here though. I'll go through here in Malachi quickly. It says, verse number 7, see, said, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, when shall we return? See, that's very interesting, isn't it? There's probably 20-some questions that's asked in the short book of Malachi, but the Lord keeps putting it back on Israel so they can identify what their problems are. You don't know how to fix something. You might not know how to pray for something if you haven't identified your problem yet. And that's exactly what the Lord is doing here in this chapter, in this book. He's telling Israel what their problem is. He's saying, you have gone away from the ordinances. You've gone away from what you are supposed to be doing. If I had a dime or a dollar for every time I hear about the services that we used to have, the way that it used to be, did you know sometimes, you don't know the weight that I've carried sometimes with that, trying to fill shoes that have been gone on before me and what have you like that. And you can only be who you are this morning. You can only be you. I can only be me. Boy, let me tell you something. What would it be like if I said, boy, if we had the church that we used to have years ago, boy, we could have some services. What would that be? Not too popular, would it? What if we had the church that we had years ago? People that would fly to the altar. People that were crying. People that were burdened for lost people. Boy, the services we could have. I'm losing you. If you're not careful, you'll carry a load that's not just your load to carry. You'll try to carry everybody's load. This is everybody's load this morning. You think about how things used to be and the way it was said here. You see what the Lord's response is to Israel. He's saying here, you've gone away from the ordinances. He's saying, return unto me, and I will return unto you. If you'll come back to me, I'll come to you. Isn't that good? But you see here, all the time, most often you'll see many times in the Bible, there is a contingency. If you will this, then I will this. Many times Christians, a believer going through a fair weather friend relationship with God, thinking they're doing the things, but their heart's not in it. Simply not in it. Life ebbs and flows for the most part sometimes until tragedy strikes. And when tragedy strikes, then you can't help but have your heart into it. There's some things in your life, and you know this, you see this in our church, you know this. There's some things in your life that you can't walk by, you have to walk through. There's no way around it. Brother Nate, there's no way around it. Thought about you, Sister Ashley, Brother Curtis, there's no way around it. There's no way to sidestep that. You had to walk through it. And tell me their heart's not in it. We see things in our church, in our church life. We see things, boy, I wish this would happen. Boy, I wish that would happen. But we kind of do the things, but our heart's not in it anymore. How do you know? Because I can see it. Is your heart in it this morning? Answer that question truthfully. Is your heart really in it this morning? See, this time of examination, we got a problem that's stated. We see how it's coming through, and here you see how these questions are being asked of God to the nation of Israel. Look at verse number 8. It says, will a man rob God? Have you ever robbed God? That's a unique question to ask. We'd probably say, well, I try not to. I hope not. Some people might say, yeah, I have. I've robbed him. You look in comparison what he does for us, how he takes care of us, and how he looks after us. Have you robbed God? Amen. I have. I've robbed him in my life many times. You just might as well be honest this morning. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee, Lord? How have we robbed you? We're here this morning. We're the church. We're here. Why, how have we robbed you? We tithe. We've done things. How have we robbed you? We're going through the form and the fashion of it. But look what he says here. I thought this is interesting. He said, in tithes and offerings. And this time, you look back in the Old Testament, there was many different tithes that they had to give. There's probably, several. Some of you would do daily or weekly, I guess maybe weekly. Some were on an annual basis, different things. But what they were doing is they were happy to give just the bare minimum to say, I did it. You know, once upon a time, the Christian was satisfied with that just to say, I'm going to do the bare minimum so I can check that off to say I did it. It's not even like that today. That's gone. Oh, how do you say that, preacher? How do you know that? Because the church isn't filled. You know, I've heard it said, Preacher Carl would say, if it gets below 120, if attendance gets below 120, I'm going to step down. How many churches would we have in the county if that was the case? How many? You see the importance of what's getting here. What he's talking about is being able to give with your heart being behind what you're doing. Verse number 9, it says, and ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. This whole nation is given back or given up on what the Lord has offered to them. You think about it in church. Are you as dedicated as you've always been? Are you as dedicated as you want to be? Is your heart in it as much as you want it to be? Different things. And I'm not mad this morning. I'm actually in a good mood. I want you to know that. I want to help us this morning. I want you to see and understand the importance of Bible school. That should have been overflowing with volunteers. Point blank, I'm not afraid to say it. Who here wants to see young children saved? Who here wants to see anybody saved? Who wants to be on the front line of seeing somebody saved? That's a good place to do it, right here through our church. You see, when you look back, well, Israel, the way they're acting, they were not acting right. Well, let me tell you, the church is not acting right in this day and time. The church isn't what it could be. The church is not what it should be. It says here, he's talking to the nation of Israel, his own chosen people, ye are cursed, ye are vexed. You're afflicted, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, the thing about God, the way he works, he's not a respecter of persons. His word is what stands. His people, the church, the nation of Israel, Jewish people, if they don't abide by his word, they're going to be punished just like somebody that's not one of his own. You know that? That's because he's a just God. He's just, he's faithful, he's righteous. That's how he works. But my goodness, how merciful he is that he expands things out to give us time to get things right. And that's what he's doing here with the nation of Israel. He's saying, these are the things that you're doing wrong, and I'm going to give you a chance to fix it. It says here in verse number 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. He's saying, take care of my house first. Take care of what's going on at the house of God first. He's saying, you put me back as number one. Is the Lord number one in your life? Be careful before you answer that. We are a people of intentions. We intend things. We want to have good intentions, and maybe a lot of times we do, and we'll say, I would like to do this, or I'm going to do this, or I'll try to do this, but at the end of the day, if it's not done, simply put, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. We thought about it, thought it'd be good to do it, but we didn't follow through with it. The Lord here is telling Israel what they need to do. He's making it plain to them. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. You see that word, prove. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He's saying, try me now. Prove me. Just try me and see. I think people have given up on even trying. I'll be honest with you. It's kind of mediocre. Sometimes you go through mediocre services, a mediocre life, mediocre things that's taking place in life, and maybe you get comfortable with it thinking you're doing all the things. But don't you get to a place you want a little bit more? Don't you want to be a little bit more watered by the Lord, the Holy Spirit? Don't you want that a little bit more, that presence in your life? If you've ever had the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and then you haven't, let me tell you, you will want it back. I promise you that. Because there'll be no power in anything until you get it back. You'll see countless accounts here in the Bible of people who lost it and wish they could get it back and wanted it back. You can see that. Beautiful thing about God is he loves his children and he wants to help his children. Don't you want, you parents, don't you want the very best for your kids? I know I do for mine. I want the very best, the very, very best that I can offer. But something I find interesting here, and I'm hurrying along. I'm going to try to be quick this morning. But another thing about this word prove, if you look up what the word prove means, it means something else. The word prove also means to ascertain some unknown quality or truth by an experiment. You're trying to figure something out. Number one, you see here how the Lord was trying to prove Philip. Philip examine his situation, his problem, his life. He was examining that, but it also means here to ascertain some unknown quality or truth by an experience, experiment. What he was saying here, what Jesus was wanting to see from Philip, he knew what he was going to do. Do you know Jesus knew what Philip was going to do? Jesus knows what you're going to do. He's omniscient. He knows everything. It's an amazing quality that the Creator has that I don't understand, but He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow, good or bad. He already knows that. He's already there. He's already in eternity. He's already there. It's an amazing thing. I don't understand everything, and I can't explain all those things, but if you look at 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there. I'll read this quickly. Just a few verses, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. Talking about giving again. I know this is talking about tithes and offerings. I'm talking about your heart this morning. Is your heart in it? It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, having a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They didn't have much. They didn't have a lot to give, but what they have is what they gave. That's all they had. You know all you have this morning is all you have? That little lad, you know what he had? He had 5 loaves and two small fishes. That's all he had. It wasn't an abundance. God don't need your abundance. Tell you a secret, God don't even need our money. Do you know that? You don't need that. He's the creator of everything. He owns everything. He allows us to use it. But He tests us in how much we trust Him and what we give back to Him. Just so happens, and a lot of the cases, money is probably the reason why that shows up so much, is because that's usually what people don't want to give up or give out, is money. And God is saying, if you don't trust me enough to give me your money, then you just don't trust me enough. Period. That's what He's saying. He's saying you're putting more confidence in man or money than what you're putting into me. And if you trust me like you're supposed to, then that money won't matter, because I'll get you there. That's what He's saying. You see what they're saying here? This church and the way things were there, they gave out of their poverty and abounded the riches of their liberality, their giving. It's just like, I don't know, but I trust the Lord. I want to see what He's going to do next. That's what they wanted to see. That's what they want to be a part of. For to their power I bear you record, yea, beyond their power. Let me tell you, if you're trying to do anything within your power this morning, it's not enough. Your good intentions, your best wishes, your positive thoughts, it's not enough. If you're not plugged into Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, it's not enough. There's things you're facing in your life already. It's not enough for you to think you can handle it on your own. I promise you that. You need somebody on the other side that actually has that power that supersedes what we think we have. The power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped. Now, you see, this is kind of interesting. The church, the people here in Corinthians, not as the apostles had hoped. They hoped for good results. They wanted good results. But you know what they did? You know what made all the difference in the world? But they first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You see, that's the key to every single bit of it. They gave themselves first. You've heard it said like this, and I believe it. They put themselves in the plate. Isn't that a beautiful thing? If every week you came in and you put yourself in the plate, you know what that would do to a service? You know what that would do to a church? What that would do to a community? It changed the entire community, and I promise you that on the authority of God's word. I preach a lot on choice and decisions, and I want you to see clearly and plainly why. I'm getting ready to close. Verse number 6, John 6, 6, and again, and it said this. You see the first part of that again. And it said, and this he said to prove him. This is what Jesus said. The context of that, Jesus was talking to Philip, and he said this to prove him, to try Philip. You're probably going through a trial in your life. I don't know hardly anybody in this day and time that's not going through some trial, however small or however large, but I tell you, it's on your heart, and it's on your heart this morning. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, if you read that very quickly, you might get caught up and confused about the he's. But if you remember who's talking here, I'm going to flip back to John for just a second. John 6, 6. John 6, 5 and 6. I'm going to read this to you real quick. It said, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread what these may eat? See, Jesus asked the question. So he's the one that's in control, Brother Tony, of this scenario. He's the one that's in control of it. And this he said, Jesus said, to prove him, to prove Philip, to try Philip. Then it switches back over. For he himself, Jesus Christ, he himself knew what he would do. You know how powerful that is? Whatever it is that you're going through in your life right now, whatever that is, I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says. This is what John 6, 6 says, Brother Allen. This is what it says. He asked Philip of this. He's saying, this is your problem. If you're being honest with yourself this morning and you're going through something personal, private, doesn't matter, you're going through something and Jesus is trying to help you work through that. He's saying, this is the problem. And he's asking you, how are we going to fix it? How are we going to, Brother Dan, how are we going to fix this? You've got a problem. This is your problem. How are we going to fix this? So he tried him. He asked him. And so Philip starts thinking, you and I should start thinking at that point, how am I going to fix it? What are we going to do about this? But did you see what the rest of the verse says? For he himself knew what he was going to do. What's that mean? Jesus already knows what he's going to do. You know what he's waiting on? You. Brother Tim, that's who he's waiting on. He's waiting on you. What do you want me to do in your life? What do you want better? How do you want, what do you need fixed? Again, he's not a genie in a bottle, but he loves his children. He's saying here, why are you going to fix this problem? I already know what I'm going to do. What are you going to do? That's the question this morning. What are you going to do? The issues that you're facing in life, are you going to try to carry those? Are you going to try to handle those? Closing with this right here, not to close on a negative note, but I want you to see this. I want you to see the sad part of this. Matthew chapter number 13, verse 58. This is after Jesus did so many miracles. He went through the towns, the communities, the places that he went through. Jesus was ready to move. Jesus is ready to move today. This is the same Jesus that you see all throughout the Bible. He changes not. If you don't think the power that you have to choose or to decide is not the strongest thing that you have to face, pay attention to this verse. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus was standing there with Philip because he said, Philip, what you going to do? And Jesus, in his mind and his heart, he said, I already know what I'm going to do. What are you going to do? He was waiting on Philip. That's all he was waiting on. One of the biggest miracles that you see in the Bible. He was just waiting on Philip to decide what he was going to do. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the ladies to come.